Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, a platform where we discuss issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Tonight on Live Talk, we are discussing the rise in anti-immigration sentiments from South Africans as the country gears for general elections slated for the end of this month. Human Rights Watch warned demand that the continued scapegoating and demonizing of foreign nationals by candidates in the forthcoming general elections risks stoking xenophobic violence. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States. In the 2024 U.S. presidential campaign, candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump are both using artificial intelligence to attract voters. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns reports on machine learning in the U.S. election.
For political campaigns looking to best target the most voters most economically, generative artificial intelligence is the biggest change in politics.
The models are getting better very rapidly. It feels like every week there's some new model which is significantly better than a previous model.
Those models are powerful tools for campaigns at the national level and at the local level, says political strategist Betsy Hoover.
Think about the campaign that does not have digital staff at all, and therefore really doesn't have a digital content program. Like, generative AI allows them to have one, and a pretty robust one if they want to. Or think about a candidate who's running against a well-funded incumbent. AI has a huge role to play in that campaign.
Hoover's firm invests in developing technology for Democratic Party and left-leaning causes. She says the key to machine learning in politics is, quote, doing it the right way.
I don't really know exactly what every Republican campaign would say their standards are, but I do know that Democrats have a high standard for how we're going to use this new technology. And so I'm not really worried about falling behind if it is not ethical and responsible use of AI.
In 2016, the Trump campaign used unprecedented social media advertising with hyper-personalized messages, working with the British data mining firm Cambridge Analytica to directly target individual voters in swing states. Brad Parsale was that campaign's senior advisor for data and digital operations. His firm Campaign Nucleus powers the 2024 Trump website. Parsale told a conservative Freedom Fest conference earlier this year that artificial intelligence can analyze voter data to create mass personalized text and email ads and deploy paid workers to pick up absentee ballots.
In a couple of years, you're going to be able to have this running for office on your cell phone, an AI-driven press release machine, write your campaign emails, fundraising tech, everything right on your cell phone, all built for you.
It's not just the campaigns. Polling by the American Press Institute and the Associated Press show 42% of American voters worry that news outlets will use generative artificial intelligence to create stories during this campaign. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Today we continue looking at the Africa Corruption series as we focus on corruption in Zambia. Officials in the Southern Africa country of Zambia said corruption is rife within government agencies, in particular the payment of kickbacks to access services. Zambia's health sector is no exception, as authorities warn of stern action against those found guilty of the illegal practice. Kathy Short reports from Lusaka, Zambia.
The measures were instituted.
This is Zambia's President Hakainde Hichilema pledging to put an end to a practice that plagues his government's institutions. Hichilema was elected in 2021 at a time when international financial institutions reported that corruption became particularly entrenched and institutionalized in the country. Charity Musamba is a lecturer at the University of Zambia. She says she experienced the situation aptly described by the president. On March 10, she was waiting for a full blood count examination at a Lusaka health facility, along with her sister who was caring for her, when a medical staffer allegedly attempted to solicit a bribe from her sister, albeit Sato.
Look at the queue of people waiting to be examined, and there's only one machine, and in some cases it even develops problems as it's been utilized. So if you want your sister to be examined, I can quickly push her name up the list, but that's on condition that you also help me.
But this is not an isolated case. Zambia's Anti-Corruption Commission, or ACC, a government agency formed in 1980 with a mandate to coordinate the fight against corruption, says it has received more than 100 cases of corruption in the health sector for the past year alone, including instances of bribery to access health services as well as obtain prescription drugs.
We have noticed corruption manifesting itself with regard to willful failure to follow procedures, the Zambia procurement, public procurement guidelines and laws not being followed. There's been a lot of abrogation of the laws to facilitate unauthorized suppliers to get contracts. And with that happening, we've also noticed possibilities of procurement officers demanding for gratification from suppliers, and also, of course, abuse of authority of office by those officers who are directly linked to the procurement processes.
According to the Berlin-based global watchdog Transparency International, corruption in developing countries disrupts vital services such as child immunization, leads to longer patient wait time, decreases patient satisfaction, and limits accessibility. In 2022, Zambia's Anti-Corruption Commission arrested former Health Minister Chitaluchi Lufya and four others over an alleged $18 million corruption scandal involving health kits procurement, but no convictions were made yet. In that year, a report by Transparency International revealed that one in every five Zambians has offered bribes to expedite access to public services. The ACC is urging citizens to be aware of the dangers of corruption and encourages them to report any instances to the authorities.
We've had the National Policy on Anti-Corruption Review, and this is to be launched by the President in a few days' time also. This is a policy for the whole nation. And the public members were actually invited to the review of this policy because we need efforts from everyone.
Kathy Short, VOA News, Lusaka, Zambia.
With that, let's take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined our show, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today in our Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are discussing the rise in anti-immigration sentiments in South Africa, with less than a month to go before national elections to be held in that country on May 29. Political parties are using xenophobia as a political ideology to seek restricting the incoming of foreigners. This topic is dominating election debates and campaigns. Many political parties, including the ruling African National Congress, or ANC, want the foreigners out. on Monday, Human Rights Watch warned politicians to stop scapegoating foreign nationals ahead of elections, saying that a toxic rhetoric endangers migrants. The Human Rights Watch dog said, quote, politicians are using immigrants as pawns without regard for their safety in any attempt to score votes. Human Rights Watch urged the Electoral Commission of South Africa, an independent constitutional body which manages free and fair elections, to explicitly condemn the harmful rhetoric directed towards foreign nationals. To discuss this issue, we are joined here by Mr. Bongani Mukwananzi, who is the spokesperson of an organization called the Zimbabwean Community in South Africa. Welcome to our program, Mr. Mukwananzi.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much to the listeners.
Thank you so much. We are also trying to bring onto the show Mrs. Diana Zimbuzana Chambara from the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum, but we are still trying because her phone is not reachable. We can start the ball rolling, Mr. Mukwananzi. If we want to know how the situation is on the ground, do you have any knowledge of what is taking place on the ground?
I think we should not be alarming to ourselves and over-exaggerate the issue. The issue of anti-migrant sentiments is always been in South Africa. In reality, if we want to be truthful, South Africa faces a very serious immigration problem that they are anxious to deal with. There is multitudes of foreigners in South Africa. Therefore, I think it is even natural that they will feel a bit invaded. So even during the elections, it's likely that some other people will use this as an election rhetoric. For example, in these past few days, we had a building collapse at George in Cape Town. A building collapse there, and people are trapped there. More than 7 people have died, and 36 have been rescued, but there's still rescue efforts happening. However, you will find people like Gayton McKenzie will then say, what is the status of those people that are being taken off the rubble? You sound as if he has the information that they might be illegal immigrants, but that's an electioneering gimmick. So electioneering using migrants, it's a bit of a trend worldwide. In Ireland recently, we have seen people protesting. We've seen this in Greece. We've seen this in France. We've seen this in most European countries. Even in America, Trump won his ticket using I will build a very higher wall than the Chinese wall to send off the Mexicans. So there's always that sentiment where people will always allude their problems to migrants and foreigners. It's a bit of a stereotype, really.
Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line, Mr. Mukwananzi. We are now joined by Mr. Velempini Ndlovu, who is a legal expert based in South Africa. Mr. Ndlovu, welcome to our show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you so much. We are discussing the issue of immigrants in South Africa that we heard is an issue that most politicians are using to Ghana for support, and we heard that on Monday. The Human Rights Watch had to issue a statement warning these politicians not to use foreigners as pawns. What do you have to say about this?
Yeah, the foreigners in South Africa are what I may call a low-hanging fruit. Everyone who wants to say anything about anything talks about foreigners, because it's easy to blame someone else and not do what you're supposed to do as a human being. So now they're blaming foreigners for taking jobs. They're blaming foreigners for crime. Any problem that South Africa faces, they blame foreigners. And what has happened is that we've actually seen parties that are xenophobic getting votes, meaning to say that there are some sentiments that people now believe, like the sentiments that are uttered by the political parties who are always blaming foreigners. Some people now believe those things to be true, even if we know that it's not true. Because if you go to South African prisons, you'll find that the percentage of foreigners who are in prison there is exactly proportional to the number, or even less than the number of foreigners who are actually in South Africa. So the political parties are the only political party that has got this mabahambe, which means they should all go, is the PA, Patriotic Alliance, led by Gayton Mackenzie, who, by the way, is a former prisoner who was in prison for hijacking and being an armed robber. So, yeah, so some of the things that he says are just like his character, if I'm to say that.
Hello, I think we've lost. Yes, Mr. Ndlovu, are you still there? I think we lost Mr. Ndlovu. Okay, let me go to Mr. Mkwananzi. Mr. Mkwananzi, are you okay? Oh, we've lost both of our guests. I think there's a problem in South Africa with regards to connectivity and electricity. But we hope to bring them back on the show as soon as possible. But let me just take a look at what some of our listeners and viewers are saying with regards to this issue, because we invited people to give us their take on what is happening in South Africa at the moment. And we have Mr. Bismarck Mapaike, who says South Africa yakanakira kuti hapana munhu anoponderwa zvematongerwo enyika. Vanotofamba vakapfeka regalia yavo EFF, ANC, DA pasina kuvhundusirwa kana kupondwa. Hanzi, in South Africa, people who support their parties freely walk around wearing their parties regalia without any form of violence or attacks that is witnessed in some countries, including Zimbabwe. Then Tulan Mark D. Swanda Anzi, ngavataure havo, asi hativi kushika Zimbabwe yanaka, tozobuda toga. Ndo zviri kutaurwa nevamwe vateereri vatinawo pano pachirongwa. Regai tinzwe. Mr. Mkwananzi is back online now. Mr. Mkwananzi?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry for that. Do you think that this is going to end after elections, if you think it's an election gimmick or rhetoric?
It's not going to end. The key issue is to address poverty and inequality. And before that is answered, there will always be this sentiment that others are taking from the poor. The poor person will always feel the one that has come into their territory is taking. So the key is to answer the question of inequality and poverty. So in Africa, and in particular in South Africa, this is not going to end. It's not the first time that we have had anti-migrant sentiments from South Africans. We've even had worse cases. I think in 2021, Elvis Nyathi was killed. It is not the only case. There's been lots of issues involving the host and the migrants, and the feeling that the migrants are taking something away from the host. And it is true in a sense, because other poorly managed countries, including Zimbabwe, have their citizens flocking to better economic situations, in, for example, South Africa. So this is not going to end because of elections. Of course, it's going to be heightened as an electioneering tool, but it's not going to end. Even after elections, this we are still going to see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, welcome back, Mr. Ndlovu. Sorry for the disconnection that occurred earlier.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Yes, and let me check with you. Are there any legal channels that foreigners who are in South Africa and are facing these xenophobic attacks or threats, are there any channels that they can take?
Yes, it depends exactly on what would have happened to them. Because if something criminal happens to you, you're always free, whether you are a citizen or a foreigner, to go and report at a police station. And then if it's something which is of a civil nature, you are free to sue the whoever has infringed upon your rights. So it all depends on the case. It all depends on what exactly has happened to you. An example, if you are physically assaulted by someone, that's because you are a foreigner, then you're supposed to report that person to the police for assault, right? But if someone is saying bad things about you because you're a foreigner, then that might be a civil case whereby you'll have to sue that person to clear your good name or to maintain your reputation.
Yes,
it all depends. But the South African Constitution and the South African law and the South African law enforcement agencies are actually very much willing to help anyone who reports, even though the crime levels in South Africa are very high and they affect both the citizens and the foreigners. But the problem is that when crime is affecting a foreigner, at times they might think that they are being targeted because they are a foreigner, not necessarily because that the crime level in South Africa is high.
Thank you. What I wanted to also ask you before I go back to Mr. Mkwananzi is that Mr. Ndlovu, can an organization sue a politician who is attacking foreigners? Can organizations or individuals do that?
No, they can sue him, but the prospects of success are very low. Because if you're saying illegal immigrants should go, then there's nothing wrong with that at law. Because even at law, the Immigration Act also supports that sentiment. So where Mr. Gayton McKenzie actually loses it most of the time, it's where he says things like, if they go to hospital and we find them there, we can actually take off the oxygen masks and take the oxygen from them. Then those things are wrong. But people who talk like him, their defense is usually that they are just speaking in metaphors and they are using creative language. They don't really mean it. So it depends on what he's actually saying. But saying that illegal foreigners should leave South Africa is not something that you can take him, that you can sue him for.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Mkwananzi, have you ever considered looking at the issues the locals are raising, like the issue of crimes, the issue of them losing their jobs, and also housing issues?
The Zimbabwe community has embarked on quite a few programs. We have done anti-crime summits, we've done anti-crime programs where we were getting our nationals, trying to get them into crime policing forums. We've done a lot of work. We are not naive to the immigration crisis in South Africa. We do understand that there is an influx of migrants from different nationalities, and with our own migrants being quite a majority, and we understand the outcry. So we've done all these programs, and it's abhorrible that we find that some of our nationals will find themselves committing crimes in South Africa, and it is quite a shame, really. So we have participated in a lot of programs, and we do social cohesion programs that seek to help the host and us as a migrant community to live together in harmony. So as the Zimbabwe Community South Africa, we've really done quite a few programs that help this. So one of our real major issues is that vigilantism has been executed as a tool to fight that there is a migration crisis in South Africa. It becomes quite a bit difficult for us as the people who represent the Zimbabweans in South Africa, that we would know that some of our migrants are not documented. So we have even embarked on documentation programs since 2010, where we assisted with the Dispensation Zimbabwe Project, the DZP, the ZTP, which led to the ZSP.
Yes.
So, I mean, the ZSP, which led to the ZTP, unfortunately, sorry, I made a mistake there.
Yes.
So we have embarked on all these programs, which are trying to seek a relationship that makes South Africans understand that we have a political and an economic situation which makes people flock to their country.
Thank you so much. Mr. Ndlovu, we have heard that ZANU-PF is going to South Africa to help the ruling party, the ANC, in campaigning for the upcoming elections. What's your take on this?
It's actually laughable that they're doing that, because why would they do that? Because it's now, the ZANU-PF are always big on sovereignty and saying that they want to safeguard the sovereignty of their country, which is Zimbabwe. Now, why would they get involved in the domestic politics of another country, neighboring country? ZANU-PF should just leave South Africans to decide on who they want to lead them and not get involved in campaigning for the ANC. Why would they campaign for the ANC? Because it's not, because they're not even going to be able to vote for the ANC, because yes, only South African citizens
but
can.
They are saying vote. They were invited. Okay, 30 seconds, then I ask the same question to Mr. Mkwananzi, and here his take before we close.
On the issue of ZANU-PF campaigning for the ANC, I think it's very unfortunate that we find our compatriots who don't understand that some of the things that they do affect the ordinary person on the street. Sometimes it's better to keep quiet. Actually, if ZANU-PF or any other person who has some other sentiment that favors a status quo in Zimbabwe, you should actually just keep quiet, because it doesn't help the ordinary person who lives from day to day here. How are they thinking that sentiment, their statement, which will not help ANC or themselves in anything? How does it help? Only to raise dust. It's not helpful. It's very sad that we are led by some people who don't understand circumstances of our people.
Mr. Mkwananzi, these are liberation war brothers. Maybe that's why they are helping each other.
If we are going to get into the semantics of liberation brother, to get into the liberation semantics, one would know ZIPRA is much more closer to the ANC,
yes,
and ZANLA was never really a friend of
the MK. We are out of time. I thank you so much for joining us on Live Talk. I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to our guest, Mr. Bongani Mkwananzi, who is the spokesperson of Zimbabweans community in South Africa, and also Mr. Velempini Tulani Ndlovu, who is a legal expert and is also based in South Africa. Saying goodbye, it's your host, Jonga Kandemiri, in Washington.